Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, and you are listening to episode 118, Collective Soul Yoga with Annie Harding and Addie Grace, and this is the first time ever in Witchy Wellness Radio history that we've had more than one guest at a time, and these ladies, let me tell you, have kicked it out of the park. Get ready for an inspirational, spiritual, meaningful, beautiful episodes all about the meaning of life, the meaning of love, the meaning of happiness, and yoga. And before we jump into today's beautiful episode with our goddess guest, a word from our sponsors, Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium. This is my go-to brand for transdermal magnesium. This means through your skin. It is highly more absorbable than taking a pill, and it helps replenish your magnesium burn rate, which is depleted by your stress, lifestyle, and your diet. If you want to learn more about magnesium, make sure to listen to episode 73 with founder Kristen Bowen. But head over to the show notes to use that link, and make sure you use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. Please enjoy this beautiful episode 118, Collective Soul Yoga with Annie Harding and Addie Grace. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. This is a show you get to learn that your body and your emotions are not in the way, but actually leading the way. And these two lovely yogini goddesses here today are shining examples of that. Beautiful Addie Grace and Annie Harding are here, two of my dear friends. This is like one of the first shows we're actually going to be talking all about yoga. I am so excited to dive into this with them. A little bit about them. As a collective whole, we'll get to learn about them individually in a second, is that they impassioned, wise, creative, and real Annie and Addie offer two diverse ways of living your yoga. Coming from a dance and choreography background at 66, Annie designs a way of moving and grooving gracefully with a sense of humor and a whole lot of love. Addie Grace, 32, is an architect of sensual movement, music, and energetic waves of words that stimulate their body and mind. Together, they weave a mosaic of movement and emotion that feels whole and holy in your body and mind, creating feelings of joy, freedom, and aliveness. Sign me up for whatever you guys are having, because that was like the juiciest bio I've ever read. Welcome both to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I even wanted to join up. It was beautiful. And the way your sensual voice really, yes, you know, creates even a better vibe. So thank you, Lauren, for letting us be here finally.
I know this has been years in the making, but we got them both here. And I'm so excited to have you here shining and sharing your passion that is yoga. And I would love to hear first from Addie. How did you get into yoga? And we'll kind of, I know that we'll segue into Annie's story and how you guys kind of synchronistically came together.
Yes, and that we did indeed. And it's interesting because our stories are quite different, but they actually all started kind of coming to fruition at the same time, just at completely different points in our lives. So my yoga journey started as a teenager, you know, very young. Little girl who didn't know much about life. And I came into yoga just as a way to escape taking phys ed in high school. So it was something I'd heard about, but I knew nothing about. And I think in that first 5 minutes of stepping onto a yoga mat, I knew this is my calling. I don't even know what this is yet, but this is me. And that's very much what my journey was for that 6 months that I was taking that weekly yoga class. And my instructor was actually pretty far out there for a high school yoga instructor. So she didn't hold back and just giving us anything and everything that she possibly could in the realm of tools that yoga has to offer. So I'm grateful for that. And I didn't know how much I would need those tools pretty soon on after taking yoga with her. And she lives in Columbus still. I love her very much. Her name is Mrs. Karras. That's what I know her as. And she teaches here still. But shortly after taking yoga for the first time, life came into the picture and I experienced a lot of loss. I was in a school that was, you know, wonderful and great, but had a lot of drug issues that came in and yeah, a lot of death, a lot of friends that I lost back to back to back to back. So as I was moving through loss for the first time in my life and in such a, you know, repetitive way, I had no choice but to fall back on these tools that I was gifted, you know, at such a young age. So moving through the last portion of high school and then into college and just trying to figure out who I was and how to navigate loss and life and all the things, I was always able to fall back into my practice. And at that point in time, yoga was probably, you know, just coming into Columbus and into Ohio. So it was almost like a secret. And I felt like it was my oasis and it was a place that I could go to. Nobody knew about yoga. Nobody was practicing yoga. So it was just my little secret womb that I could rest in as I was moving through a lot of hard times and, you know, a lot of deep sadness and pain. So coming out of that, I left the U.S. I went into the jungle. I did official yoga training and I knew I wanted to be able to gift other young people the opportunity to have that tool belt that yoga kind of stacks you with. So I was certified in kids yoga and just dove into everything that I possibly could. Came back to Columbus and just tried to bathe in the fact that yoga was starting to grow here now. The timing was very synchronistic and magical. So yeah, that was pretty much my beginning portion of my journey.
Beautiful. Miss Annie, please enlighten us on your journey.
Well, Addie said that we got, you know, we sort of were indoctrinated into our yoga practice at the same time, but I happened to be 49 years old and not a high school young girl. Although when I was a young high school girl, I fell into some darkness around control and not having it. And I became severely anorexic. And so just to kind of bypass that whole story, but in a way with honor, the only thing that pulled me out of it was my movement and my desire to keep on dancing. I was a dancer. I was in a dance troupe in a very competitive high school environment. And I was in shows that would only choose like a few dancers. And I remember this one year I didn't make it. And the entire rest of the year, I danced like I was on some sort of, dance drug just to get into the troupe or get into the show the next year. And as I was thinking about the heroine's journey and my heroine's journey, and that I am 66 years old, I do have reference back to all the times that dance and movement pulled me out. So fast forward to my 49th birthday. My life was beautiful and crashing down upon me, not by choice. My children were completely, you know, so much part of my life, and I was so much, you know, their mother. But I had lost my first husband. He had died. And I married an old high school sweetheart who I knew had some demons, and his demons were alcohol. And he lost everything that we had, everything. But my children kept going and I kept going as their mother. And one day he had created a lot of, trauma in our lives through his alcoholism. And I was also trying to heal what I was trying to heal as an anorexic. My mother was also an alcoholic. So all of these little touch points along the way that I don't know that I'm weaving exactly in any kind of chronological order. But when I knew that my life was about to crumble, I sat down at the computer, which is just a funny story for me, because at the time the kids had one of those big desktop computers and I wasn't really part of that. You know, they were teaching one another and they knew what they were doing. But I remember everyone left the house. They went to school and my husband went off somewhere. And I sat down at the computer and typed in yoga and dance. And I knew I could dance because I'd always danced. And I knew nothing about yoga. I'd never even taken a yoga class, but it drew me in for some reason. And up came Shiva Ray. You've heard this story, but it's the truth. And she's a famous yogi, Shiva Ray. She's a famous vinyasa yogi. And this was in about 2002-ish or three. And I saw her on the screen dance her yoga. And I looked at her. She looks like me. She sounds like me. She spoke like me. And I had never seen myself in that way. I'd never seen myself from the outside. And I thought, that's who I am. And if this is yoga, I can do this. So the next day, almost, or the next day, I signed up for a local yoga training class. I had to figure out the payment plan and the getting there and the feeding of my kids because they were still young enough that I needed to be home or, you know, be there for them. And somehow I figured it out and I got in there and I didn't like any of the having to do anything a certain way, but I knew that I had my own way around some of that. And I knew I could teach and I knew I could also dance. And so I did everything my own way, according to the, you know, the training program. At the same time, I did it all my own way. And I got out of training. I was the oldest person in the training, of course. I've always been the oldest person anywhere I ever have been part of. And I was at least 30 years older than most, or 25 years older than most of these people. But for some reason, I got the highest score of anyone in the class because I came from the wisdom that I had and the truth that I had and the vulnerability that I perhaps had, and that I was going through this very, very dark night at the time with losing so much. But in all of that losing, of course, this is the end result. I found myself and never turned back. So I'm just going to segue really quickly. I got very popular very fast. And the story goes that I would tell people at the gas station and at the market that I was going to be a yoga teacher. And they all would shout across the gas, you know, pumps and the grocery store, when you are, I want you to be my teacher. So I was being pulled by that energy that we know, the power of, you know, affirming and the power of the universe knowing. And it was very magical, but I had never been really part of that spectrum of knowing. Certainly after that, I got very involved in Jerry and Esther Hicks and all of the teachings that we know now. And Wayne Dyer was one of my favorite guys. And I have a story about him too, if you ever have time. But anyway, I knew that this was where I was to land, but I had never known that. So once I began teaching, I was the Pied Piper of yoga at this very large health club. And I would have 50 to 70 people coming in. And I was performing, really. It was a performance, but it was a performance to save my life. And it saving my life and the integration of everyone else saving my life. I found, you know, myself certainly, but then I found Addie. So I'll just say that, you know, there's many, many things in between, but I met a man on the beach. I was in a very happy time of my life, divorced and on my own, but with my girlfriends, my best friends. And, you know, you're at the beach and you're feeling so much of that, you know, courage from the ocean. And I heard this man's voice and I heard him talk to someone, my friend who I was with, and he said he was from Chicago, which is my home base. He brought me to this place where Addie is, which is Columbus, Ohio. And I walked into the studio where I was now going to teach. I already had work and she was leaving. Like I was coming in the door. She was going out the door, not that quickly, but in that energetic way, that's what was happening. And everyone was so sad that Addie was leaving. Like, there were tears on the ground, but I had just left tears on the ground. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm here now. And now, you know, I'm going to be the replacement for this young girl.
And I was moving to Colorado at the time.
And my daughter was in Colorado, and I had all these pains about her going to Boulder and my being here and not knowing. And we sort of took one another's place in a sense. And a year later, after everyone had accepted me sort of and still missed Addie, she walked into my class, which had probably been her class, because I kind of replaced her in a sense. And I would say, I'm the old Addie. Like, I'm just the old Addie. So you must just accept me now. And they finally did. And there she comes back. And the studio where we worked hired us both to do a training. And I didn't know this word, but they said we balled it up or balled it out or we balled it. We got like 1,000 people joining up because of who we were, that we were so similar, but so like the pillars of the beginning and the middle and the end. I mean, we were so perfectly synchronized, but I wasn't the end and she wasn't the beginning. We were just this passing through one another's just our souls, really. And we would look at each other during the training and think, you know, how did we get here? And it was all cosmically planned and serendipity and all the words that we like to use that seem very casual, but there's no way this would have happened unless that was part of it. And so here we are today, with respect for one another, with joy around one another, with never wanting to not be in each other's lives, no matter what paths we take or where we go. We always are very loyal. I mean, I feel very loyal to this young woman, and I know she feels loyal to me, and we're just really grateful to be in this life together and doing the work that we both love that brought us to ourselves, really.
Ooh, yes. I love every single second of that. And for me, and so many people, like, get into yoga through their own dark night of the soul, mm-hmm. through their own healing journey. It's much more than just a physical exercise, which we both know, or all three of us know. What, and this is a very open-ended question, but what does yoga mean to you guys?
Well, I say it in my classes that yoga is you.
Yeah.
I mean, it is who we are. And it is the layers and the weaving of all those layers. And to recognize your soul in this lifetime is really a gift. Because I think that we're all waiting until we die, you know, like, oh, there I am. But it's a wake-up call to live and be alive in this lifetime now, and to also appreciate, you know, why you're here and your purpose. And that's such a casual word. It's always thrown out and it seems so sort of arrogant. Like, what's your purpose? Well, your purpose is, you know, I believe to love, you know, and to love yourself. And so it does take a lifetime if you're lucky enough to have it and to have people that support you and surround you. And we all don't always have that, but it is certainly a full-time job of your own. And I think yoga is just such a beautiful, it like holds you in its arms and says, here, let's go, let's try this now. And it gives you all the qualities that you are. It's really who you are.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, I tell my students all the time that yoga is a practice of revealing yourself to yourself. And another piece that always comes to mind when that question is asked, you know, yoga is salvation, but in that, you know, revealing yourself to yourself, you find that you are your own salvation. You are your white knight, and yoga is just revealing that for you. You know, we're so covered up in our labels and our obligations and our societal constructs. We forget who we are, or we lose sight of who we are, or we haven't found who we are, and yoga assists in revealing that.
Yeah.
I love that. I just started reading, you guys probably both have read, and listeners have probably read this as well, The Secret back in the early 2000s. Well, she just came out with a new book called, I have it right here, The Greatest Secret, Rhonda Byrne. And I was kind of hesitant to read it at first, to be honest, because I'm like, oh, that's just whitewashing of law of attraction, all that kind of stuff. But the whole book is, the greatest secret is, who are you? Who are you really? Mm-hmm. And you know, you're not your body. You aren't your emotions. You aren't your thoughts. You're not your situations, your relationships, your career, your wealth. You are the awareness that is experiencing those things. Mm-hmm. And that's what yoga is for me, is it brings me back to having that awareness in that present moment. And if you want to get, for me, sciencey and nerdy, it's like quantum mechanics. That's when you can enter into that realm of unlimited possibilities in that present moment, because everything yet nothing exists. And I've had so, and I'm sure you ladies have too, so many magical moments on the mat where just time and space stand still. Mm-hmm. And it can be some of the darkest moments of your life, but you get into that flow, if you will. That's a kind of a bad yoga pun, but it's a flow, that alignment, that presence that, you know, my partner, David, is friends with all of us. He loves to say, you know, if your mind wanders off the four corners of your mat, bring it back. And for me, the awareness and love is what yoga is. And I love hearing everybody's answers, because it's all different, but it's all the same. And yes, it's a good workout. Yes, you will experience more than just the physical aspect of it. But along with the physical practice, I wanted to transition, ask you guys, I know you guys teach all styles of yoga, but you know, what's your favorite styles of yoga? You know, what do you guys teach? And more importantly, you guys have a beautiful online but in-person platform where you teach classes, teacher trainings, retreats. Here you go.
Well, I love that you were mentioning flow, because Annie and I have also kind of felt a little resistant to that word. But lately, I have just been embracing it full on, in the idea of flow state and just being in pure awareness. And that is the transformative aspect. And that's what takes you into, you know, the magic of the universe, and just the fact that the universe has your back if you let it have your back. So just kind of piggybacking off of that flow, my favorite style of yoga is vinyasa. And that's what we teach. And it's because of that piece. It so is that piece of being in flow state. You practice that and you manifest that tangibly on your mat by moving physically in a flow-like manner. And to me, that has a ripple effect, and that goes then beyond the mat. And as you experience that physical flow, you know, that's taken to the next level when you can start to allow your awareness to also be in that flow state too. And we, you know, I think we're a little biased. We love vinyasa. We teach vinyasa. We teach teachers to teach vinyasa. But it is, to me, it's almost the umbrella of yoga. You know, even if you're practicing physically in a different way, vinyasa is yoga in my mind. It's all of the elements all in one. And a slow yin class can also, to me, be vinyasa. You know, vinyasa is breath to movement at its most basic level. And that is all yoga. So to me, vinyasa is where it's at. But I will say, lately, I have been in more of a movement practice. So I'm pulling in some elements of like HIIT workouts and taking things kind of into that more physical realm of actually working out. And within that, just experiencing that sensation of being pushed to my edge, but being able to call in that meditative mindset that we all experience in a relaxing yoga class. So creating that combination on my mat has been my goal lately. Like, can I push myself to the edge? Can I sit in discomfort, but feel like I'm in a state of meditation and ease and softness? And that's been a beautiful and just different piece for me lately. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's always interesting how it evolves. And no matter where you're at in your life, you find a way to practice yoga that resonates with you at the time. And that's why it's magic, because it's not just one thing. It's a million and one things, and it's anything and everything that you want or need it to be.
Yeah. I was lured in by Shiva Ray and the vinyasa and my dance background, my choreography background. And that is still probably, you know, the biggest piece of my heart and soul in yoga. Although, as I've had to become more vulnerable in my body as I've aged, and I would say I'm probably like, you know, an amazing 66-year-old. I mean, most people think like that's not how that must look. And I do try to hide a lot of, you know, what it's feeling like lately, but I'm having issues in my tissues. I'm having to humble myself to my yoga practice. I've actually been in a full-time training and I've had to like watch a lot of things or be the person that modifies. And so through that, I believe that that's where my power is now guiding me, or my power to teach is guiding me into not the next realm of who can't do this anymore, but who perhaps wants to choose something different and more creative. And so now in my classes where I'm teaching students from the ages of, you know, 20 or negative 20 up to my age or beyond, I'm using pieces of vinyasa, yin, and like Addie said, you know, we weave everything we do in such a sensual way that everything feels vinyasa-y. But then I've added my true love right now, which is Kundalini. And when I first began studying yoga, I went to Colorado to a yoga journal conference that they were putting on every year at Estes Park. And I walked in on Gurmukh Kalkasa, who's the goddess, and she still is the beautiful goddess of Kundalini. And she took me to a place I'd never been, not physically, but just spiritually. And she was such a light and so on fire. And she was about my age that I am now. And I sort of am always now looking for these goddesses 20 years beyond my age, because I think, okay, fine, I'll just do that. And so Kundalini is this way to almost fake the movements, because you're moving in these like really wild ways that are just mostly just wild movements. And I love that idea. And when I take my students in my classes in our studio into those places that I name them things like wings and whirly birds. And I just kind of have more fun in my practice than being so serious and staying to, you know, these certain asanas that have to have some sort of foundational quality and internal rotation, external rotation. I get so bored with the conversation that I just want to say, you know, shake it out. So that's pretty much now all my classes are choreographed to what feels good in my body. And if I can be truthful with that, I can guide that, I can lead that, and I can do it forever. So like Addie said, I mean, yoga grows with you, and you young ladies will know one day what I'm saying, and you will also grow with it in a vulnerable and a very humble way. So I want it to feel good to my body so I can truthfully give it to my student. So that's sort of where I've taken my practice. And that's what we're doing in our virtual studio and in our retreats. And I think people are really responding to it on the coasts. You know, we always get things kind of last in the Midwest, but in California and New York, you know, Kundalini has been available forever and ever. And it is the most ancient form of yoga. So all of yoga really, you know, Addie said the umbrella of vinyasa, yes, but Kundalini has that also that ancient heritage and wisdom, which I just love.
Yeah. And the virtual platform has really been such a gift. You know, it came about because of the pandemic and things getting shut down. So we're always shifting gears and having to evolve and wanting to evolve. But as the virtual platform came to be, we realized this is an opportunity for us to be able to fully be ourselves, to teach in whatever way we want to teach, to not have restrictions that studios will sometimes place on instructors, but to have that freedom to come into each class authentically as we are in that moment and teach from that space and that place, that has been such a gift for us. And it's been incredible. I don't know how we would go back to doing it any other way now at this point. it's been so empowering too, I think, for both of us.
And we really feel like our students and culture is ready for it, you know, because I think people have gotten a little bit bored of, you know, Sun A, Sun B, you know, this and that. I think we all want something new. And I find that even like middle-aged men are coming up to me after class and saying, that is really great. You know, they might not know what we're doing. You know, and the next chapter would be chanting and they'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, but it is fun to kind of introduce something in a fun way and an easy way and not be all like wrapped up in what, you know, we have to do or what you have to look like or what you have to wear. And I think, you know, Addie and I really definitely want to break through that. And we have just naturally together even more so. So it's really, I hope it grows and grows that in that direction for all of the yogis in the world, you know, to come into their practice and just have fun. Because when you look out into the studio or into the virtual studio and you see sort of these sort of lost, sort of dull, you know, dull in a loving way. I mean, we're loving, but I want them to really be excited about this new path that they're on. And I hope that Addie and I are helping that along in some way. I think we are.
Oh, I know you are.
And thank you.
And what you guys just said reminded me of, like, you know, in general, but I think this past year, a lot of stuff has come up for people individually, collectively, the world. And it's calling us to adapt. It's calling us to look at those shadows and to love those shadows that we didn't want to look at before. And with that being said, to me, that's kind of the healing of that divine feminine and masculine, but that feminine rising, right? And you beautifully said, like, you know, not having to wear what we're supposed to wear or stick to the strict, you know, Sun A, Sun B. Because honestly, I get bored. Because if I go to a class where I know I can anticipate, my mind's not present because I know the sequencing. I know what's going to happen next. And to me, that's not as much yoga. That's not where I am at right now. And that's okay. My partner David and I, a few weeks ago, went to a Bikram class. And I haven't been to a Bikram class in years. And I was reminded why that's just not my thing. I'm a vinyasa girl as well. And I'm just like, you just stand here and then you sit. It just feels so robotic.
They're sort of like yelling at you the whole time.
Yeah.
Too.
There's no music. They're yelling.
It's the lights are bright. It's bad. But I actually love it. But I mean, that's another discussion. I mean, oh, yeah. I love that once in a while. Once in a while.
Yeah, but Kundalini, I mean, I really got to know both of you guys through Kundalini because Annie was doing these beautiful local like workshops. I'm like, oh my God, people in Columbus, Ohio are doing Kundalini. This is amazing. Like it blew my mind. But any way that you practice yoga for me is just bringing me back to the present moment. I'm yoga teacher trained. I don't teach. I was thinking I was going to, but I don't. But so many people don't realize you don't have to become a teacher if you go through teacher training. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear your guys' opinion on that. And I know you guys offer beautiful in-person, online, and you guys offer also training on trips too, or just...
We haven't yet.
Not yet.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to Greece and we have a beautiful trip planned through Athens, Paros, Antiparos, and Santorini. Ooh. We're doing that twice this year. And then we're going to Africa, to Kenya. And we're going to the city, the bush, and the sea. So I like to say it. And we're staying at the Masa Mara, which is well known. And there are these beautiful tents above the, you know, the animals come and do their thing underneath the tents. And I guess it's really unbelievable. And Addie is such a little panther herself that, you know, I wanted her so badly to go there. I've gone to Africa on retreat before. I led one earlier to South Africa. So I definitely wanted to repeat this with her. And we're going to Kenya. And then Addie takes trips to Costa Rica. And I forgot your question, but yeah, there was
training.
Oh, we've never done a training. But
training,
we hope to do one because I think people are really drawn to getting away.
Yeah.
You did that.
That's what I went to Belize. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And my training was in Costa Rica as well.
My training was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I could have used some getting away time, but I made up for it. Yeah. We want to do that. What we are really clear about though is we offer a 200-hour full certification. There's a lot of studios that are doing these in, you know, pieces and parts. And we all appreciate it because of the financial, you know, implication or the finances are hard to sometimes come around with when you have family or jobs or whatever. And so we are offering a 200-hour fully, and we feel that we want to present that to a student so that they do feel completely ready to lead a class if they want to, or go out in some other aspect of their lives with this full training, because there's so much to offer and we don't want it to be fast and quick and drive through. I call it drive through yoga. It just doesn't work for us as teachers and as guides.
Yeah. And so much of what we're doing, we're teaching you, of course, how to teach yoga and the foundations of the postures and the alignment and the philosophy, all of the things that you'll experience in most teacher trainings. But the biggest piece for us is, again, that revealing yourself to yourself. It's the piece of self-inquiry that brings you home to who you are, not only as a teacher, but as a yogi and as a human being. So that is the main element within our training, is really bringing you into yourself and into your soul. And that's why we are Collective Soul Yoga and Movement. So that's our main focus. And, you know, I think 200-hour trainings sound a bit intimidating, and why would I take something like that if I don't know if I want to teach or I don't want to teach? But it's not that. It's 200 hours of going inward and experiencing the energy of a collective and community and going through the thick of things and having your dark nights of the soul, but in a collective energy where you feel held and safe and secure. And our goal is just to create that, something much more than teaching people how to teach yoga.
Yeah. And it's been a beautiful thing. We've done a few now. I think we're kind of, you know, approaching, you know, half a dozen or something. And we continue to inspire ourselves to continue that work, because I think that's what, I mean, I think Addie, I've said this before out loud, she's one of the finest and most charismatic and beautiful teachers I've ever taken class from. But we are really good at this teaching of teachers. And it's Yogi Bhajan, the famous Kundalini teacher, that says, "I did not come to teach students, I came to teach teachers." And it seems sort of like funny in a sense. Everybody's a yoga teacher now. I mean, almost everybody. But it's that you are a better person out into the world. It's what we're teaching is, like Addie said, it's the coming into yourself. And it's such a beautiful birthright to be yourself.
And adding to that, like you say, and perhaps from Kundalini, that our birthright is joy. And that's another huge piece of our trainings. And if you know us, if you've taken class with us or had a conversation, you know, we're all about that. Like, let's bring more joy into the moment now. So take a training with us and you will experience joy and a lot of dancing and a lot of love.
Yeah. I mean, well, Lauren's famous for her dance breaks. We have dance breaks built into our 200 hour. I mean, it's definitely in there. I mean, we've got it written down.
Even when we did our training virtually.
Right. And everyone was so great because we had everyone do like a move, and then everyone would have to do a move and how it's separated on the screen. And you'd see just people's like lower bodies or just an arm, or I don't know. It was kind of like naughty, actually. There were all kinds of things going on, but we did well. I mean, that was incredibly powerful for us, I think, as you know, we had never done that before virtually, and we didn't know how it would go, but it was so cohesive and so loving and joyous and free. And we all missed each other. I mean, we were here on this screen thing, but you know, it was really a crossing over into the faith of what yoga can bring in any vortex, any way that it comes to you, it comes fully.
Well, I just looked at the time. And I know it's going to take us like 30 minutes to close the show down. So I want to, in a loving way, because I love you girls. And I'm like, we could talk for hours. Maybe we'll have to have you guys back on to dive even deeper. What else do you guys want to wrap anything up or speak to anything else before we start closing the show out today?
Well, one thing I would mention is that, you know, we are here to love everyone up, and things are a bit heavy right now in the world. And I think we're feeling that collectively and individually. And we just want you to know you are always welcome in our virtual space. And as we just spoke about, although it is virtual, it is a community, it is a collective, and it is something that's potent and fully felt. So if you're looking for that, come join us. And you can take your first 3 classes for free with us virtually. That's for everyone out there in the world. So if you're looking for something, you know, come try us out. Drop into yourself with us for 45 minutes. We'd love to have you.
She's the business expert.
And are you the party end, Annie? Is that your end? The
fun? I am definitely, you know, I know you're going to put this on my bio. I am the Dolly Mama.
You are.
So yeah, I mean, I'm only here to really love and to, you know, if you're going the wrong direction at all, I'll pull you back, because I've definitely been down that road. I might like say, no, come on here a little closer. And, you know, I hear myself not giving advice so much as just my experiences. And I do, you can't stop anyone from their own, but, and you have no right to, but at the same time, I want to hold everyone and say, maybe not so fast, quiet down, you know, let's go dancing, you know, smell the flowers. You know, I just think that I'm here really at this time, not that I'm so old. I mean, I plan on being, you know, in this world for a very long time, but I just feel that I've seen enough and learned enough that now I just want you all to know that you're so lucky to have this path before you, and do it with some awareness and some alignment with who you are, and stop trying to be like everybody else. And in your millennial time, you know, and my daughter is the same age as you guys are, and my son, you know, the comparison is so toxic, and I wish I had never, you know, been part of it, but we all sort of are. But now even it's on steroids. And so, you know, come into a room virtually or, you know, with us in person and our trainings, and just find those beautiful parts of yourself that you never have to compare again or look for.
Ooh, mic drop on that one. Oh, and I know I'm a little biased, but you both are two of my favorite teachers. It's very rare that, you know, you are the teacher's teacher, whether you're being trained or just taking a class. They live up to that bio, is all I have to say. And I urge everybody here, if you're interested, if you're a seasoned yogini or yogi or you're brand new, take advantage of this 3 free class offer. That's amazing. And if you mess up, who cares? No one's going to see. It's virtual. It doesn't matter. And even if you mess up in real life, it's okay. It teaches you how to laugh and, you know, be more joyful about things. But thank you both so much for finally coming on the show. It has been such a pleasure sharing this space with you both. We close out every single show. I know you both are listeners and you know this, but thanking you both for showing up for us today, but also individually in your own lives, because your light shines so bright for other people, to encourage them and inspire them to do the same and show up for themselves. How may we, the listeners, be of service for you guys as an act of gratitude in return for you today?
Well, I'm just going to begin this and then I'll let Addie end it. I asked her that question because I do stalk you. I do listen. I've been like practicing, and I'm sure it didn't look like that, but I was just listening to everyone. They're so intelligent, and I was learning so much and taking copious notes and worried about what I might say. And but I knew this question. I knew what I would say. I knew exactly what I would say. So I asked Addie, and she didn't know what I was going to say. I said, you know, Lauren asked this question, and what would you say? And she answered the exact thing that I know I will say on my way out of any yoga studio or my way out of life. It is these two words. Be kind. Kind.
Be kind.
Be kind to one another. Just be kind. And, you know, I'm learning more and more about being kind to myself, but we really need to be kind to one another, you know, as best we can, and we can do better.
I love it. Those are some two powerful words. And they didn't tell me off air before the show what they're going to say, but they were like, it's two words. And it was like the suspense. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what they're going to say.
Yeah. Well, off air, we might say another few.
You probably would. Yeah, a little more sentence enhancer. Yeah. But thank you both so much for coming on. I had such a wonderful, fun time speaking with you guys today.
Thank you, Lauren. You are lovely, and I love stalking you. I will continue. And when you and David came into my class the other day, I was so nervous. But then you said something that no one's ever said to me before. It meant so much to me. And, you know, if someone could say I was the best teacher, blah, blah, blah. But you said I was so vulnerable and real. And I love that, because I thought, well, yeah. That's what I am. That's what I do well. And I'm just grateful that I can do it in a way that people, you know, can also take that and do it as well. Because I think that's what our kindness is about, seeing each other in our realness and our vulnerability and our love. So thank you.
You're so beautiful. Much.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.